Well, this morning, we have the privilege of hearing from Mr. John Foldberg in the Ministry of the Word. Mr. Foldberg is a retired Marine who currently serves as a biblical counselor and manager for training and aftercare at the Mighty Oaks Foundation. Also, he is a counselor at his local church, Colonial Baptist Church, here in Virginia Beach. The Mighty Oaks Foundation is a Christian ministry based in the San Diego area that serves veterans and active duty military, as well as first responders who are struggling from the effects of trauma. Mighty Oaks ministers the gospel through a week-long residential biblical program provided at no cost to the student. The program is a peer-to-peer intense discipleship program where those who have struggled with PTS share hope and help those who are struggling with trauma by giving them the gospel of Christ. They give them biblical principles, and they also give their own testimony. So we want to welcome Mr. Foldberg to come up and share the ministry of the Word with us this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Josh. I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you all this morning. The Psalm 56, where we put our trust in God. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But let me give you a slight disclaimer right up front. I know that last week you had Dr. Daniel Davey here, and he spoke on 2 Samuel about David and Goliath. I'm a Marine. Dr. Daniel, the president of a seminary, 30 years in the pulpit, comes from a father who also spent a long time in the pulpit. So I've got some big shoes to fill, and add on to that little I'm a Marine piece. I was also a horseshoer for a while, so a guy who is in the corral, bent over horses, getting kicked, stepped on, bit, knocked around, pooped on, you name it. So I come at it from hopefully a very humble perspective. But I really do appreciate Dr. Daniel's message last week where he spoke on David and Goliath. And his message was called A Story of God Who Rescues. And I'm going to try and add another aspect to David's life a little bit this morning. His life as a warrior. And to point out how our God, all of our God, rescues us. David was someone who fought and bore the scars of battle. And those scars are wounds physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The emphasis that Dr. Davey gave us was that in learning about David and Goliath, we will see both the nature of God and the nature of man. And what I'm going to share with you, I think, and I pray, and I hope, that y'all will see both of those aspects in the things that I'm going to share this morning. We call this message The Sufficiency of Christ, Counseling the Word in Times of Crisis. And our base verse this morning comes from 2 Peter 1:3. So let's turn to that, please. 2 Peter 1:3. And it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. This is our base verse. However, I'm not going to unpack that verse. Our base verse is that because what it does is it points to the hope that we have through Christ. It points to the fact that Scripture is practical. It's not only useful, but it is sufficient for the life that we are called as Christians to live. And that is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see that embedded throughout your worship service. You see that all around you. You hear it in just what Pastor Josh was talking about earlier. So as we all know, life is full of trials and traumas and crises and difficulties. But God, through Christ and His Word, has told us all that we need to know in order to live a life that will glorify Him. Let me say that life is also full of joy and wonder and incredible excitement. And as our family sits here in the front row, you saw our two little ones. And we've got two more little ones down in Atlanta. And we've got two little ones on the way, one here and one in Atlanta also. So it is full of excitement and joy. But by grace, life is also full of challenges and trials. And that's what I'm going to speak principally about this morning. And it's through His grace and His divine power that He's granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So I'd like to share with you just a little bit about what we do with Mighty Oaks. I'm going to do that on the front end, and then we're going to unpack this counseling in crisis. So just out of curiosity, how many of y'all are either active duty or veterans? Just keep hands up. Okay, we got a number. Okay, keep the hands up. Keep the hands up. How many of y'all know someone who is either on active duty or a veteran? Okay, a few more hands go up. Okay, good. Now, we almost hit 100%. How many of y'all are first responders or know of a first responder? Okay, that hopefully that hits the whole spectrum. So that's who we're talking about this morning. That's the focus of Mighty Oaks. Those are the men and the women who we focus our effort toward. The reason I ask is that because as Carrie and I minister to that group, we want you all to know that who we're ministering to is just about everybody. Now, that's our target population, but that's who we're ministering to. And so I'd like to share with you some short descriptions of some of the men who have come through. There's a double amputee whose family won't speak to him because he's very vocal about his faith. We have another man who came through, an Army Ranger with 14 combat deployments, who found hope in a relationship with Christ. A retired master sergeant of 40 years service to the military with multiple combat deployments, turned to alcohol for numbing, accepted Christ. A retired Marine with multiple combat deployments also, who used alcohol to numb his PTS. PTS is the term I'll use for post-traumatic stress, and I'll explain why we don't put a D on the end of that. He was diagnosed with severe PTS, and he too accepted Christ and is now one of our team leaders. A man who is a 5-year-old was repeatedly sexually molested and has peace and an attitude of forgiveness for this man. A soldier whose mom was a prostitute and gave him her client's name came to Christ and is actively ministering to the lives of many others. These are just a scratch of the surface of the men and women that we encounter. There are hundreds more. I'm just not at liberty to share with you their story. These are the ones who've publicly shared their story. It amazes me, the pain and the hurt that's out there. But what's even more amazing to me is the miracle that God does when He reaches down and pulls someone out of that mire, that quicksand, that place of hopelessness, and restores a sense of hope through relationship with Christ. So this morning I'm going to do two things. Share with you about Mighty Oaks, the ministry that Carrie and I are involved with. And the second is we're going to look at what Scripture says when we want to come alongside someone who's in crisis. So, Mighty Oaks, the organization, the ministry that we're involved with. It was started by a man and woman, husband and wife, named Chad and Kathy Robichaux. Chad came home from 8 combat deployments. He was a Force Recon Marine, did all of his deployments in and around Afghanistan. He came home on his 8th deployment and was diagnosed with severe PTS. This included panic attacks and rage manifesting itself in adultery, isolation from his family. Ultimately, they filed for divorce. However, but God, he found hope in Christ through a man who pretty much did what I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning. And over a period of a year, he counseled and mentored and discipled Chad and counseled both Chad and Kathy. And from that experience, Chad was transformed. And from that, Mighty Oaks was born. And from that time in 2011 to now, we've had over 2,000. Well, as at the conclusion of our next program, which starts next week, we'll have over 2,000 men and women who have come through our program. Members of the military, the examples of post-traumatic stress, we're the ones who are getting all the attention right now. But everybody experiences trauma and crisis and trials. One of the things that we do, or the principal focus of our effort, is we point men and women to the biblical model of men, of manhood and womanhood. We are a biblically based, Christ-focused program pointing men and women to a relationship with Christ. For many, Mighty Oaks is the last stop. They have tried other things. Many of them have attempted suicide, whether it's with a weapon or with drugs or driving into a tree, or any other number of ways. Our focus, like I said, is on PTS, post-traumatic stress or combat trauma, maybe even reintegration into civilian life. Someone who has no combat trauma at all, but they can't figure out how to transition back into civilian life. We also have programs that we try and get before there's a crisis. We call these our resiliency programs. Chad and Jeremy, our executive director, go to Marine Corps recruit depots, and the Air Force has programs, Yellow Ribbon program, and they talk to men and women before there's a crisis to build a resiliency in their life, a spiritual resiliency. Our students come from a wide diversity of belief and unbelief. Atheism to Buddhism and absolutely everything in between. You don't need to be a Christian. We don't even ask that they be a Christian before they come. Many of them come from a long line of abuse, both hurt and pain associated with physical abuse, and many with sexual abuse in their childhood. Many of these men and women come with an unrealistic expectation that people should understand them. And the reason I say that it's an unrealistic expectation, because when someone comes through things like whether it's combat or just horrific trauma in their life, how can they expect the person on their right or their left to really understand the depth and the breadth of the things that they've experienced? It's an unrealistic expectation, but we have many men who are in the midst of that, expecting their neighbor to understand them. There are even some in our veteran community who embrace this unrealistic expectation and relish this victim-based perspective. They put the mantle of PTSD victimhood, wear hats and t-shirts that highlight that they are broken, angry, bitter, and they want to be left alone. If you're a veteran or active duty, you've encountered guys like this. It's almost a badge of honor to them. They won't describe themselves as victims, but if you listen to their words and watch their actions, that's exactly what they're saying. It gives them an excuse to be that angry guy or that angry gal. That may sound harsh, but it comes from a heart, from a person and an organization that wants to share the hope of Christ, the joy that we have in Christ, to take that root of bitterness to a heart that expresses joy and has peace. And we challenge our guys with that. We challenge our students with the message that they're not broken, since we as an organization come from PTS, from a creation perspective. When we encounter people like this, when we encounter people who are experiencing post-traumatic stress, one of the things that we share with them is that God designed us, designed our brains to react to abnormal situations the way they're designed to react. So there's nothing abnormal about those actions and reactions that people face when they encounter these abnormal situations. So if our brains are reacting normally to an abnormal situation, they're not broken. There may be a new normal, but they're not broken. We have a little booklet out here on the table outside called The Truth About PTS, Small D. Another common observation that we have from those in the military is that they've gone from a very highly structured environment and a very authoritarian environment to something significantly less. They are now on their own and they can do whatever they want. And the initial celebration of, ha-ha, I'm out of the Marine Corps or whatever, quickly devolves into no one understands me. And they tend to move towards isolation. Their identity was all wrapped up in their who they were was associated with, I'm a Marine. And so when that Marine piece goes away, their identity goes with it. That lack of connection with the civilian community just amplifies that. So one of the goals that we have is to help men and women find a new identity. And that identity is an identity in Christ. One of the other challenges that our guys and gals face is they've tried many other things. And many of them may have one person left in their life who's an advocate for them, but many times that person is exhausted, and they, too, don't know where to turn. All other options have maybe been exhausted. They've pursued other means. They've been through the VA and are on multiple medications or therapy, residential programs, drugs. We have guys who come through our program who are on 30-plus meds a day, dulling and confusing their senses. Our message is not get off your meds, flush them down the toilet. That's not our message at all. But one of the messages, go back to your doctor and talk about a weaning off plan of these meds. Some of y'all may know that we lose 20 veterans a day to suicide. That's a horrific statistic. But it's something that we need to deal with and come to grips with and figure out a way forward. And that's why we emphasize what we do, this one another, coming alongside one another, is so important. One of the things that we also tell our guys and gals is we're not a hug-a-vet program. We're more of a poke-a-vet program. We challenge them. And generally, veterans, they went into the military in the first place, or even into a first responder role, knowing that they would be challenged. So they'll accept that challenge. We appreciate those people who love veterans and want to hug veterans and give incredible resources and money to veterans. We really appreciate that at Mighty Oaks, because we can use that money and resources to come alongside these men and women, and we do. We ask our students one simple question at the beginning of each program. If what you're doing isn't working, why not try? Why not do something different? And that something different that we're talking about is relationship with Jesus Christ. Become the person that God created you to be. Every instructor and staff member on our team is a combat vet. Every one of us have walked to one degree or another the symptoms and effects of post-traumatic stress. And in that, that gives us that street credibility to say, I've been where you are, I'll walk with you, follow me, I'll help you down this path. Where a therapist who's sitting in the office with his little flip binder or whatever, who wants to hear another war story, doesn't have that credibility. The classes that we teach through our men's program and the men's program and the women's program is a little different. But the classes that we teach at a men's program, although every class has scripture embedded in it, and not just a little bit, every point that we make is biblically based. But the classes we teach deal on character, discipline, brotherhood, purity. We help them develop fight plans, to develop a plan of action for when they get home. Building margin into their life. We talk about what kind of legacy they're going to leave behind. We talk about marriage and forgiveness. We view ourselves as farmers. So then the question is, so what do farmers do? They break up the soil by turning it and toiling it. That's the poke in the chest that we're talking about. To soften that soil so that when we plant the seed, which we do on a regular basis and on a building basis, if you will, that soil is softened, and then we fertilize that seed with compassion, with love, with patience, and prayer as God causes that seed to germinate and grow. So that's what we do. I'd like to shift gears to share with you a little bit about how we do it, how we counsel these men in crisis and women in crisis. My goal for the remaining time is to build your confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture and the power of the gospel to transform lives and equip you to be able to come alongside others in crisis with a practical six-step course of counsel. We all need help navigating our time together. And please don't think what you're going to hear this morning, oh, that's just for vets, that's just for the military, that's just for law enforcement. As you listen to what I'm asking you this morning, please have in the back of your mind, how can I apply this to my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my coworker, the student who sits next to me? Because this is what Scripture teaches for all of us to do. It's applicable to all walks of life, not just biblical counselors, not just to Pastor Josh or the elders. It's applicable to everyone. My perspective on counseling is that at its core, it's coming alongside another. to help them find their hope in Christ. That's our primary goal in counseling, that people find hope and help from God that is available through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we see that promise in John 12, verse 32, that says, and this is Jesus speaking, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." When I get a call from a veteran, or I'm sitting with one who is struggling and has lost hope, perhaps even to the point of considering taking his life, that is my prayer as I'm listening. Lord, may you be magnified in this man's life. That is always ticking around in the back of my mind as I'm speaking to him, either face-to-face or on the phone. The goal in counseling is hope found in relationship with God through Christ. And it's for anyone who is struggling with issues of life. Those issues may be from the consequences of their own sin, of the sin of someone else towards them, or because we live in a fallen world and sin is all around us. So no matter whether I'm talking with a counselee from my church, a veteran during a Mighty Oaks Men's Legacy program, or on the phone with a distraught wife whose husband is struggling with PTS, the goal is always to point them to Christ. I agree with the biblical counselor Winston Smith when he says, "I try to keep two objectives in mind, to help people see Christ and to help them deal with the things that keep them from seeing Christ." So to that end, here's a common course that I generally follow when responding to people who are struggling. So let's get started on this path, and I invite you to walk down this path with me. The first step is we open the manual. The second is we get off the X. The third is we get in step. The fourth is we trust the point man. Fifth is we'll commit to training, and then our sixth step is we set up comm, communication. So let's take a look at these steps. Our first step is we open the manual. The start point is Scripture. Since we're going to use the Bible as the source of counsel, it's important for the men and women that we're talking to understand why we use the Bible. The first place we go to is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. If you have your Bibles, please go ahead and turn to that. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. And it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." So let me pull some phrases out of that. It is breathed out by God. That tells you that this inspired document, the creator of the universe, who created all just by speaking it into existence, created this. The four things that he talks about that are profitable or sufficient. It's for teaching. And that's divine instruction from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The second is reproof, which is the rebuke for wrong behavior. That's basically saying, that's wrong. It's really simple, okay? The third is the correction, is to restore to proper condition. That's wrong. This is how you do it. That's the correction. And then four is training in righteousness. That's training in godly behavior. This is not rocket science. This is practical. This is useful for each of our lives. In doing these four things, it equips people for everything that God has called us to do, which means how to live a life for every good work. And that's the way Paul finishes those two verses. In ministering to mostly vets, this is not a difficult concept for them to understand. They're used to using manuals. They're used to following doctrine. They get that. It makes sense to them. I don't want to boil down Scripture down to a simplistic term like this is our training manual. As you all know, it is infinitely more than that. But that's a term that our guys and gals, particularly the guys, those who have been in the military, for the gals, they understand that terminology. And so we use that kind of terminology. We point men and women to Scripture for its unchanging truths. We know that the love of God never changes, and we can trust in His Word and know what is right, what is true, what is good, what is pure, and it's not going to change. That's important, because we live in a time and a culture when things are changing quickly and rapidly. We're living in a time when right is described as wrong, and wrong is described as right. We can just, here in the United States, we can see that killing an unborn is legal, and in many circles, it's encouraged. Just 70 years ago, it was legal in portions of Europe to gas and cook people. 170 years ago, it was legal to own someone in this country, and that was justified by the Supreme Court. And now, we can self-identify our gender, our race, or even our age. These are difficult times. That's why, in pointing men and women to truth that won't change, it's the start point. That's where I begin all of my counseling. Because then if I can establish that as the foundation, we can move forward. Until we can resolve that, even for an unbeliever, we can't move forward. Our second step is to get off the X. Hopefully now we've got them standing on firm foundation, using this as our source. Now we get them off the X. The X is a military term that we use for a kill zone or an ambush. The enemy will set up their ambush to inflict as much violence on that X or in the surrounding area as they possibly can. They want to kill everything that's in or around that X. So there's two things that you need to know about that X. You need to know if you're on it. If you're in a kill zone, you need to recognize that. For many of our guys who have come through our program, that's easy for them to recognize. Their life is a disaster. Many of them have attempted suicide. They know exactly where they are. And many of them, they know if something doesn't change quickly, something's going to change dramatically bad. Many of them, they're there because their wife said, "You either go or I'm out of here." And the whole spectrum in between. So I'll take them to 1 Corinthians 10:13 and show them a hope-packed promise in our training manual, in Scripture. One that helps them know that even in the midst of their struggle, they're not alone. God promises to provide them a way off their current course, a way to get off of that X. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man," meaning the things that they're experiencing, others have also experienced. "And God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." This verse tells us that what we are experiencing, others have also experienced. Our organization is comprised of combat vets who have struggled with PTS. I already mentioned that, myself included. The experiences that I had as a child, and then leading into the military piece, and then the combat deployments, when I came back from those deployments, I was an angry person. I was angry at God, and I was angry at the Marine Corps. What that resulted in is when I would come home from work, or even coming from the field, our children didn't know if fun dad was coming home or if angry dad was coming home. And that made for a crazy difficult time for CJ and Carrie and our other two daughters. They walked on eggshells because they just didn't know what to expect. I would go from 0 to 100 in a heartbeat. What I wanted, what I demanded, was respect, was quiet, harmony, a conflict-free environment, totally unrealistic expectations. And that lasted for 4.5 years in our home. Carrie, during that time, was growing in her faith. And I had told her, "Don't even mention the name of Christ around me. I want nothing to do with it. Do what you want with the girls. Leave me out of it." And that stayed like that for 4.5 years. I knew Carrie at the core was right, that her trust and her belief, her faith, was what was right. But I was way too proud, too wrapped up in my own self-righteous anger to admit it. I almost felt like I had to be angry. But I really couldn't put my finger on why. Then the Marine Corps, in its infinite wisdom, sent a guy who had flunked out of Spanish in college, sent me to the Defense Language Institute to learn Greek. Not a good choice. Fortunately, the Greek department grades on a huge curve where the person who gets 100 gets an A, and the person who misses half of the questions gets like a B minus or a C. I don't know how that curve works, but I benefited from it. But I didn't know that at the time. I was failing out of that course, and I was, fear of failure is my biggest fear. And God reached down and plucked this rebellious sinner out of my misery and my anger and started me on a path towards hope and joy and peace. Fortunately, when we transitioned to Greece, we fell into fellowship with a wonderful international church. And then when we retired and moved to California, Carrie got involved in biblical counseling. I followed in Trace. And it would be at that point that I would say my walk with Christ blossomed. Because now I had to put into practice the things that I was reading in my quiet time in the morning. I had to actually use this in coming alongside men and women. Now both of us have the joy of opening Scripture to help others and see themselves in Scripture, to identify with the people who read and learn about characters in the Bible. I like to share the warrior king, King David's expression of despair and hopelessness in Psalm 6. You don't need to turn to it. I'm going to read a portion of it. David, because he was a warrior, he resonates with the guys that we're talking to and many of the gals. He fought up close and personal. He did CQB, close quarter battle. Hearing about David helps our guys identify with people in the Bible. So let me read a little bit from Psalm 6 from David. Starting with verse 2, he says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise?" And here, "I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of my foes." The men who I'm talking with are encouraged because that couch that David's weeping in, the night terrors that he's expressing, that may have been what happened to them last night. So they can identify with this guy named David. The promise associated with this is that with this being getting off of the X is when they're tempted, when that temptation comes to respond in anger to this trauma that they're facing with anger, substance abuse, anxiety, sex, bitterness, a lack of forgiveness, fear, God will always provide a way of escape, a way to get off of that X. And they need to know that this way of escape, it may not be an easy way of escape. In combat, the way to get off the X is the assault into the objective, into that fire. That's not a comfortable way to go, but that's usually the immediate action that we take when we're ambushed. So this way off of the X can be and probably will be very difficult. You can just think of Joseph and Potiphar. But one of the things that we can learn through the promises of God is that as we are obedient to God's word, He is going to build and create and develop that fruit of the Spirit. And those 9 characteristics, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, those are the heart issues that the men and women who come to our program are seeking. They may be a double amputee. We've had a triple amputee come through our program. The things that they are searching for are those 9 characteristics. We can't necessarily change the physical wounds, but we can certainly, through the grace of God, change those heart wounds. And so what's really cool, what's really awesome, what is almost miraculous about Scripture, I just read to you David. Let's see how David, in this simple psalm with only 10 verses in it, what did he do? How did he end this psalm? Remember, we left him on his bed, weeping. Let's turn back and see what David says. He says, "For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my prayer. The Lord accepts my prayer." David, in the midst of his pain, turned to God and sought him and trusted in God. And that's what we want our guys and gals to do. Trust in God, just as Pastor Josh read in Psalm 56 this morning. So our step three is to get in step. A significant contributor to this thing called PTS is isolation, a sense of isolation. Men will isolate. I already talked a little bit about that. Scripture's full of the one another's. I think there's 59 different one another's that we can see just in the New Testament to encourage one another, to restore one another, to pray with one another, to love one another. I think that's the most dominant one that we see in Scripture, to love one another. So it's a call to action for all believers to do these one another's, not just the counselor, not just the pastor, not just the elders, but for all of us. This is a charge for all of us to do. And we're taught in Scripture how to do this. If you turn to, you don't need to do it now, but I encourage you to do it at some point. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, basically telling us how to put off the old self, how to renew our minds, and then to put on this new self, which is in the likeness of Christ. That's the good that God is trying to do in our life. He's trying to make us like Christ. We can use Scripture, make it very practical. And Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 does just that. We can talk about what actions that they need to stop doing in this process when we're talking about it, what they need to stop doing, what verses they can turn to in Scripture to renew their mind, and then what actions, what habits, what things that they need to do in order to start doing that. Reflect back to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. This is the whole part of teaching, reproof, correction, and training. This is that in action. And we can be encouraged by Philippians in chapter 3, where we're told to press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And this is singularly focused on relationship with Jesus Christ. This idea of let go and let God, let that go. You need to be very intentional. It doesn't just happen. It's not fairy dust coming down. We need to be intentional about it. What's an incredible gift in this process is that God will give us both the grace that we need, not both the grace, He will give us the grace that we need for both the desire to do this and the ability, the desire and the power to do this. And that's only by His grace. We get to experience the incredible work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Our fourth step is to point men and women to their point man, to trust in God. This is the critical aspect of the counseling process, to encourage them to turn to Jesus and to trust in Him. If he's still an unbeliever, this provides the opportunity to present the gospel, to show him how God has created a bridge from him to us through a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is, in the simplest form, sharing the gospel with these men and women, turning them from unbelief to belief. And we see in Romans 8 the promise that no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. This is powerful because it points to an everlasting truth that the love of God in Jesus is absolutely rock solid foundation to stand on. It won't slip out from underneath us. Our Savior has led the way and we're following Him as conquerors through Him. So let me pause here for just a second, because this idea of trusting God is key. It's the chasm that separates us from God. Christ is the key. Our focus has to be on the eternal. We can change things in the temporal, but unless there's a relationship with Jesus Christ, those temporary fixes It's like playing music and rearranging the deck chairs of the Titanic. That ship's going down and those people are going to die. You've got to change the eternal. You've got to share the gospel. They need to have a heart change. They need to go from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Otherwise, their ship is going down and they're going to die for all eternity. So let me make this personal. If you don't have that hope, that joy, that love, I'd like to invite you to come to Christ right now. Jesus is the bridge over that chasm. He is the only way. He tells us that in Scripture. He paid not only the price for our righteousness, but we get His righteousness imputed to us. So now God views us with that same lens of righteousness. I know this is a little unorthodox, but I'd like to pray right now. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for this opportunity. And I just ask that You soften the hearts, call them to Yourself, to turn from sin and unbelief to obedience and to belief, to trust in You and in Your promises. And only You can do this, Lord. And please do this for Your glory. Please draw those who need to be or in need of a Savior. Draw them to You, Lord. Amen. If y'all have any questions about what this means to be a Christian, talk to Pastor Josh or the elders or myself.